The epistle for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I foretell you, as I have foretold you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. Thus far the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you of much more value than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature a single cubit? And for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more you, O ye of little faith? Be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. For your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added to you." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. And dear faithful, today, some big lessons. We see St. Paul listing to the Galatians a list of vices. And then afterwards, a list of the fruits of the Spirit. He calls the vices, he calls them the works of the flesh. Then he speaks of the fruits of the Spirit, which are good things. And he says that they're at odds with one another. The Spirit has its desire for goodness, for holiness. Flesh has desire for fleshly things, which are contrary to goodness and holiness. And so, there is a certain battle within us. Now, this struggle for holiness is much harder than it would have been had Adam not sinned. The works of the flesh that he describes are, we're all tempted to them. If not all of them, at least some of them. We endure temptations from just because of the flesh looking out for itself. Whereas before the original sin, before Adam committed any sin, his flesh did not seek after disorderly things that are out of order. And when the devil tempts us, because he does tempt, he wants us to commit a sin, and so he tempts us in such a way that he'll try to succeed. He wants us to fall into sin. And when he tempts us, he does not want us to think of certain things, but rather only of certain other things. So, what? He wants us to think of what is good about the sin that he wants us to commit. And he draws our attention and tries to focus us on the pleasure or whatever satisfaction that we would derive by committing this or that sin. So that we will choose it. That's what he wants us to do, is to choose it. When the salesman tries to sell you the car that you're shopping for, he does not want you to think of how much the insurance is going to cost, unless it's, of course, a very low insurance, you know. If he's selling you a Ferrari, he's not going to try to bring up the fact that it's going to cost you thousands of dollars for your insurance. Or the maintenance costs. Those things, if you think of them, even though he knows them, and you might know them in the back of your memory somewhere, does not want those things to influence your decision to buy, because he wants you to buy it, whether it's good for you or not. He's only interested in making sales. And so, in certain ways, he'd probably rather not have you think about the hard parts. And so the devil is a good salesman that way. He certainly only shows us what is delightful about the sins that we are tempted to commit. And certainly there is something delightful about them, or who in the world would do it? But people do it every day, and so, therefore, something must be attractive about it. And our human will has to choose. And it has to love something. So the devil presents then to the will good ideas. You know, the famous excuse when somebody made a big mistake and somebody asked him, well, why'd you do it? And he said, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, right? Well, there was something good about it, or they wouldn't have gone through with it. Either something really good, which is often the case, or something just imaginarily good. It wasn't really good at all, but they imagined it was good. And when we are tempted by the devil, he shows us these good things about sins, we're likely to fall into them if we don't also consider the rest of the story. And so it's very important that we, when we notice that we're being tempted, some trouble in the air, that we think of the other side of the story each and every time and say to ourselves, but if I follow through with this thing, I will throw away the grace of God. Or if it's only a venial sin, well, I'll weaken myself, become more susceptible to mortal sins. It's like the person who burns the candle at both ends. He knows that if he doesn't get enough sleep and take proper care of his health, he's going to get sick. And so when it's time for bed, time for a meal, time to take care of your health in one of these ways, he thinks, well, I will do it now, because if I'm not careful, if I don't take care of my health, I'm going to be sick. And if someone gets sick, too sick, they die. And so the same thing goes with the health of our souls. We have to resist our temptations by thinking of our spiritual health? How strong am I in the faith? How strong am I in hope and charity? Do I have an intensity of sanctifying grace or just a little bit? So we think of how we would hurt ourselves by following through with the temptation. And we can say much easier than, that's not a good idea. No. But we have to stop and take time to consider. We must not just float through without thinking. Doing this, we make all kinds of mistakes. So that's why it's so important that we stop and think. The other thing to consider when we're tempted is that God, in His goodness, in His love, He created you. And what does He want from each one of us? He wants us to love and obey Him for 70 years or so, whatever we live on the earth. Some have a shorter life, others longer, but in general, in the vicinity of 70 years or 80. And He wants our obedience and love for that period of time, and then that's all He asks. He doesn't really make us do anything really extraordinary, nothing superhuman. Just love and obey Him during a lifetime. And when that's over, He gives us heaven, if we have done it. Now, we consider that we disappoint God, who does not deserve to be disappointed by us in any way at all. In fact, He deserves much more than what He asks from us. And so we really shortchange God by committing a sin, even venial sins, because He deserves that we obey Him in every point. And He's disappointed when we commit a sin. So we consider that we would disappoint God. If I go through this with this, God, my God, who created and loves me and redeemed me, He'll be disappointed with me. And that's not good. And so I won't go through with this sin. Then, one other thing to consider, the third thing. The first thing was to consider the fact that it's, even though there's something good about our sins that we're tempted to do, there's also something bad about them. And then second, to consider that we disappoint God. And thirdly, to consider that we will be kept from heaven by sins. Every sin keeps us from heaven. The little sins or venial sins, they are punished in purgatory. And that delays the entrance to heaven. So the person who has to go to purgatory does not get to heaven sooner. They have to wait and suffer instead of going straight to heaven. So venial sins keep us from heaven for a time. Mortal sins exclude us from heaven forever, because by them we forfeit God's grace, the grace which entitles us to heaven. And so we see that heaven is really where we belong. It's a good idea to think of going to heaven whenever we're tempted. And I'll give you some little idea. A person, typically our sins, our temptations, that is, when we're tempted, it starts off rather innocent. We're not really guilty of anything at all. But then things develop. And as they develop, we become somehow excessive or unbalanced in a thing. And we begin to be tempted to evil, whether it be hatred, lust, or any of these things that were mentioned in the epistle today. And then, not always right at the beginning, but sooner or later, we recognize the fact that we are being tempted, right? Now, here's the moment when we have to make a decision. Do I give in or do I resist it? And of course, the good thing, the right thing is to resist it. So we have to resist our temptations when we recognize that we're in danger of falling into a sin. Therefore, what do we do? Father, how do I resist my temptations? Well, one of the best things is to, as I was already told you, the 3 points, to remember that they're not, that temptation is not all good. Something's wrong with it. That God would be disappointed and that I would lose heaven. But one of the best ones is to think of heaven. Because immediately there we have to see what we're trading. We trade the friendship of God and the beauty and glory of heaven for a temporary satisfaction, which is not all good either. It's only partly good and partly evil. And so when we're tempted, we should resist by thinking about going to heaven. Very important. God wants you in heaven, and you can make it there. But you have to do your part or you won't make it there. As St. Paul taught to the Galatians, he said, those who do these things will not obtain the kingdom of heaven. And so, therefore, we say, well, I'd rather go to heaven. And a good idea to help us, because our human will has to choose between things, and we have to choose between committing a sin and being kept from heaven by it, or resisting the sin and obtaining heaven by resisting our sins, our temptations that we're tempted to sin. Because we gain heaven by doing that, by refusing temptations. God is watching. He sees you being tempted. He knows what's happening. And when he sees, we realize what's happening. We make our choices. We say, Lord, I refuse this thing completely because I'd rather go to heaven. Give me heaven instead. And have mercy on me for my past, of course. You know, a little prayer like that. And you know that you're doing the right thing. You know that our hopes of heaven are founded on real things. We hope to go to heaven because God promised it to those who would love and obey him. But when we resist our temptations, we are loving and obeying him. And so we have a solid hope for heaven. It's not just a sort of, oh, maybe, but I'm not sure. No, we are sure. If we go this way until death, refusing our temptations, we are sure of heaven. There is no maybe. The only maybe is as long as we keep doing it until we die and don't quit before we die and then go and commit mortal sins. But if we're determined not to do that and we start by not doing it now, we're on the right track, aren't we? Yes. And then in the gospel, Jesus says that we cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot do both. Either we're going to serve God and refuse our temptations, or we'll serve the devil and lust of the flesh. And we'll refuse God that way. Those who try to serve God and mammon, they certainly would either love God and sort of bear with devil. Those who serve the devil do not ever really love him. Not truly, anyway. They may say it, but they don't really. But they sustain him. They bear with him. And so we must not serve the devil. We must not serve the works of the flesh. But we must resist. And instead of that, serving God, because we know that that is where we can be happy. So let us today take these serious lessons given to us by Christ and His Church. Well, those lessons are necessary for our salvation. Let's take them seriously and follow through. Resist our temptations and have a serious and solid hope to go to the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.